Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Faith on the airwaves. Radio Pulpit on 657 AM.
657 AM Radio Pulpit coming to you. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. You and I, the best of friends, man. This is happening throughout up to the hour 8, and I want to say thank you so much to Johan Els. And of course, it's coming back tomorrow, gracing you again. All the shows, man, during the afternoon, I call them the joyride. And this is just derived from what I used to have some many, many years ago. It would be called the joyride. Ish, it was such a nice program, the joyride. On that radio station of the public broadcaster then. It was nice. Anyway, thank you so much, Johan. Continue to speak the truth. Ish, fun. To speak the truth. Nothing but the truth. And may the Father truly grace you abundantly. And may He also fill you with His abundance from now on. And may He continue to fulfill you and stay in the truth. All right, I'm going to play a song of this guy. Look, I've been playing this song ever since I was a boy. And why I removed it from my playlist is because I kept on hearing the word New World Order on the song. And then there was a rationale of a new world order, you know, and all those things. So I just removed it, thinking, okay, maybe it might be speaking about this. I just didn't listen to it. And then I realized later on, the wife of, Bobby Womack, when she wrote the song for George Benson, she really did good. And what she wrote The New Day. Then I listened to Curtis Mayfield. He's also speaking about a new day. And in all this, they're speaking about social ills that have to change. We live in a country and a land and a time where there are so many ills that have to change. And we as the body of believers have to set the pace of change and continue to show the goodwill, the optimism to life, and the appreciation of your neighbor, and respect for life itself, and also living in goodwill. And this has been such a challenge. Now, Curtis Mayfield, you will realize I'm a historian. Curtis Mayfield, I wouldn't say he was born when. He is a well-known artist, and he died maybe a decade ago. And what happened is that he fell on stage. There was a stage accident that left him quadriplegic. Then he was paralyzed from the chest down. You know, now, he went to studio anyway. And in studio, he couldn't sit. They had to make him lie down and face up. And then he recorded this song. And he keeps on yelling and saying, it's a new day. It was a new chapter for him, but he was saying it's a new chapter for all the people. And by then, there was a Million Men's March, if you can remember very well. It says, it's a new day. And it's a new day. Make sure that you don't go to prison. Make sure that you do good. Make sure that you live right. Make sure that you stay away from crime. Make sure that you stay away from abuse. GBV, stay away from such. Make sure that you live at peace and respect the next person. But also make sure that you live a life that is pleasing to the Father. Because Curtis Mayfield, believe it or not, he's the child of the Most High, born again. And he did this song, paralyzed, and put on a stretcher, facing up. You can go and check the video. You'd see he's lying down. But hey, the producers did well. They shot it well. And he's speaking about this new day. And may we also have the spirit of newness in us, because the mercies of the Father are new each and every morning. And let us at all times make sure that we become those kinds of believers who always bring about a goodwill, a goodness in the lives of everyone.
Sikuthanda ngendlela emangalisayo. Khetha iRadio Pulpit 657 AM. Khetha uthando.
At Radio Pulpit, we are dedicated to delivering content that inspires and uplifts, guided by faith and truth. Our commitment is to provide quality programming for our community. We are here to serve with content that speaks to the heart, sharing messages of hope and love every day. If you believe we haven't followed the broadcasting code, you can contact the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. Visit www.bccsa.co.za or call 011-326-3130 for more information. Thank you for listening to Radio Pulpit, your trusted voice in faith and community.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
A beautiful song there, a beautiful song. We trust the Father is doing you good, gracing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends, we are coming to you live from Pretoria, Kulna Park. And let me connect also Professor Buyiso Ndezi from the UJ, and she's in Joburg. Professor, greetings to you. Welcome to the show, ma'am.
Greetings, my brother. Thank you very much for the welcome. All is well with us. I greet you as well with your beautiful family. In the glorious name of our Lord Yahushua HaMashiach, I also greet our beautiful family of Radio Pulpit. All are greeted in the glorious name of our King. It is yet another beautiful evening, my brother, in the presence of the Lord. And I'm grateful to be here to share the word with you. Thank you.
So you're watching through the window.
What do you mean?
No, you said it's a beautiful evening.
It is. But not before I sat down, I had a beautiful evening. Although yeah, it was a busy day, but by the time I got home, things were, yeah, have come down a bit in the day.
Yes.
And it was good. The evening is better than it compared to the other few days that we had.
Yeah, it is a
beautiful evening. Wow,
I hear you quite well.
At least it's not raining today. It's not raining.
It's not raining. Hey, I was driving throughout the rain through this very weekend and right up to last night. You know, I was driving through the rain. It was just raining. I felt I could play some Phil Collins. Yes, it is going to rain now. Hey, Munda.
Yeah, you were reminded of some songs.
Yeah, of Phil Collins, you know. Yeah. Anyway, remember last week, we couldn't do the whole show. So we just did the introductions on the show, and we were touching the issue of self-condemnation as to what is self-condemnation and what is it even all about. You know, that many times we speak things over our own lives which we are not supposed to speak. And we enter into covenants that condemn us. We enter into pacts. We enter into covenants that condemn us. And we find ourselves really at odds with, you know, the normal life that we are supposed to be living, because we speak those things. Now, let me give an example. When I was coming out of hospital, I had to take treatment for the bones because the bones were fractured, you know. And, you know, some people would come and say to you, remember, as the servant of the Most High, your bones are not supposed to be fractured. If they're fractured, there's something evil about you.
Mm.
And
wow.
Yeah, and sometimes people would come into the ward. I was in Pretoria East Hospital. It's an orthopedic hospital, as far as I'm concerned. That's just what I know it to be. And then people would come and say, "Hey, Muna, we have seen your healing ministry, but why can't you pray that you be healed?" It was like they were saying, "Heal yourself." There's a friend of mine, my DOP. People will understand when I say my DOP. The director of photography, you know, in my production house. And he said, "Heal yourself. I've gone with you. I've seen people being healed. You know, why can't you just pray and heal yourself?" And somehow, staying there for such a long time could lead to condemnations. And some of the things that people would be saying, a nurse that would be coming in at night and saying, "Remember, you won't be able to walk again." Or the one that says, "Hey, with such fractured bones, man, you need to be careful. Unless, if you're not, we're going to amputate." You know? A would-be amputee. Yes, yes, as they address and discuss among the would-be amputee. They would discuss all those kinds of things. And they would be saying, make sure that, I mean, condemnation is not necessarily what you name yourself, but it's also the directives that people are giving at themselves and the directives that people are giving at you, and you accept them even when the spirit of the Father does not agree with them. Like when someone says, when someone says, "No, but you're not qualified," and the Father says, "You can make it," and you go on and embrace, "I'm not qualified," you basically are condemning yourself against the qualification that the Father is setting you above of. But hey, we see those kinds of things, you know. This is the very aspect. We must be careful also with our mouth. Listen to Job. Job in chapter 9, verses 20 says, "Though I were righteous, my mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse." There are things that we say about ourselves, not necessarily the mouth, the physical mouth, but also with the words of thoughts and meditations of the heart that speak against us. Someone who basically continuously looks at themselves from the perspective of what the Father has forgiven. When someone says, "I'm a sinner that is saved," hey, Professor, maybe you can help me find that in the Bible. I've been looking for that.
Which one, my brother?
When someone says, "A sinner that is saved."
Oh my goodness. but you still define yourself as a sinner.
No, they say that. "I'm a sinner that is saved." We are sinners that are saved. We are sinners saved by grace.
I think it is important for us to fix our language and our definition and know where we come from and where we are, because it becomes now an issue of positioning. And if you are going to position yourself in the platform where you expect yourself to have been moved, how do you still define yourself as a sinner after you've been forgiven and cleansed, and you still call yourself a sinner? I'm saying, I think the definitions there need to be emphasized, and then you need to be taught, how do you speak of yourself, particularly after you have received the Lord, the King Yeshua, as your Lord and Savior? How do you define who you are now in this new position that you are at? I think it goes back to the issue of positions. And how do you define yourself in that new position? Sometimes we do not see where we've been taken to after salvation. Simply because some of our positions are not physical. So we still think we are still in that old state of darkness, of self-condemnation, whereas we've been moved. Because when we talk about Christ. That's about the change in position. You are no longer outside, but you are in Christ. You are in the one whom you've been saved to. So now the location changes. So when the location changes, even my definition changes, my identity changes. So it means even my language must change because I'm no longer in that state. So I think there it's an issue of knowledge and understanding. And we are sometimes condemned by the language and ignorance that we find ourselves at because we have not learned to speak from the position where we are. I think these are some of the things that we need to start to correct as we deal with these issues, Brother Ray.
Yeah. Now, when you look into Job 15, verse 6, it says, your own mouth condemns you and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Are we those kinds of people who hold on to testimonies about ourselves? And the side at times that zombies abantu bazokhuluma bathini bazofakaza. I don't know if people people do that in the born again churches. Sekuyisikhathi sokufakaza manje sobufakazi. And then yes, and then they call people to come. And someone who have been saved for 40 years says, it comes and talk a story of how they were sinning. All along, every time when they stand up, they talk about how they were sinning. I mean, here, seriously, because it looks like we still, you know, even though we close the doors, we don't remove the doors and build the wall. We still leave the doors closed and not locked because we can always go and peep in and
we
check
can
as to
go back and
yes, yeah, can always go back, peep in and see what is it that I used to do because I seem to be forgetting. You know, when something has happened to you long ago, they peep. Oh yeah, yeah, I used to ukufeba kanje. Hey, I'm changing your shaya linye bangeli, and people say hallelujah. You're talking the truth and stuff, but the testimony, the testament, I mean, if one is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away, which means it's dead, and the new is come. So the testimony should be on that which is new. Okay, Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. Right. And they say to me, no, you can't say that because Paul says it, yes. But Paul doesn't go about gloating and saying, hey, I used to concur when people were killing believers. It's spoken once or twice, but in all the things he has written, he's speaking about the newness that he has found in the Messiah. And then when you look into Psalm 64, verses 8, it says, so he will make them stumble by their own tongue, and all who see them shall flee away. Self-condemnation is a stumbling that we bring also by the things we say about ourselves. And self-condemnation also is found in the foul language that we use. You become so irritated by some of the people that you work with, and then you throw in some vulgar, you throw in some foul language there.
Yeah.
You become a rap artist. You start calling people in names of female dogs and all that. Yeah, it happens. You know, we start, and seriously, and you are right by then in yelling at them, but not in condemning yourself. That you are a blasphemer and foul mouth and speaking the language of the devil. We condemn ourselves in many, many ways. And it's not only when someone refers to their own history, but it's also on the philosophies that we have.
True.
What comes to mind, Professor?
Yeah, Brother, you have painted a huge and a concerning picture here because most of us have never thought of self-condemnation from that perspective. Most of the time we look at it as, we look at it when you've done something horribly wrong, but you've never thought of these small words that we speak, copying it from this person and that person, probably it's the language of the work area where you are, and you think it's something that you must also speak. And at the end of the day, you fall into a trap of condemning yourself because you end up speaking things that are not supposed to be spoken by you, and you end up putting a certain curse probably upon yourself and a certain limitation upon your life because of the words that you have spoken. And some of these words are taken from the environment and the community where we find ourselves. So you have quoted some of the verses here that I think we need to be more aware of them and also get to be taught about how should we speak as the children of God, particularly where we are, so that we don't get to a point where we are blamed ourselves, where we are now counted with them because we are doing things that are like them, we are talking like them. So you quoted Job 9, verse 20. So let me start there where it says, though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. So here Job is talking about the position of righteousness that we all have when we are in Christ, when we are saved. But unfortunately, we forget who we are. We forget the work of the Lord that he has done in our lives. And then we allow these things to still come out of our mouth. And then this condemnation comes out. And the Bible says, though you were blameless, but because of where you find yourself, where you find or hearing people speaking this kind of language, though you are righteous, you end up speaking those perverse languages. Your own mouth condemns you, even if you are not supposed to be in that state. So I want to go back to this other verse that you have quoted, that we must remember when we are in Christ, we are the new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. So you become the righteousness of God. So if I am the righteousness of God, there shouldn't be any condemnation of any form, whether direct or indirect. You remember that you are a new creation. So you cannot be associated with things that are putting you back to the old self, to the old life that you lived in the past. So that also talks about the way you speak, the way you relate, the way you do things with your neighbor, with the person around you, because you are now a new creation. It means you're not expected to be associated with the things of the past. When I read this scripture that you just quoted, 2 Corinthians 5:17, talking about us as a new creation and the old has passed away, and I'm looking into the picture where things are gone, but you find people still have access to those things. And the question is, how is that possible? It means I, as a child of God, is the one who's taking yourself outside of this place where the Father has put you. So therefore, self-condemnation becomes the work that you do yourself to yourself, because you get out of the zone of salvation. You get out of this room where the Father has taken you to, which is the room in Christ or the space in Christ. Then you go out to look for the things of the past, because if you are a new creation, these things have passed away. So how come that you still have access to these things? You have access because you take yourself out. So it means you don't agree with God in what he has said you have become when you are in Christ. So that, again, is another self-condemnation, not agreeing with what the Father has said, not receiving the gift of being repositioned, taken back to him, because remember, we were in God and we were taken out by sin. So when the Father takes us back to himself and put us in Christ, we do not agree with the work that he has done, and then it means it's about self-condemnation. We begin to speak against the work of God. So speaking against the work of God is also associated with self-condemnation. And these are the things that make us stumble, because we do not understand and we do not see. We find ourselves speaking those things, which is why you quoted as Psalm 64, verse 8, which says, so he will make them stumble over their own tongue. All who see them shall flee away. So we stumble over our own tongues because we do not see what has been done. We are unable to associate with the newness of being a child of God. So if we fail to associate and embrace salvation, we continue to speak the old language of self-condemnation. Self-condemnation, then brings us back to a self-reliance. It takes us back to self-dependence. Self-condemnation makes you to focus on yourself and your inward ability, and it removes God altogether, because you think everything that must happen because of your own might, because of your own wisdom and your own understanding, which is why when you start speaking, you speak from your own knowledge, which is why the scripture says to us here, we stumble over our own tongue. It means our own words, which are coming from our own understanding. So there is no way that you can speak for God if you speak from your own resources. It is when we speak from the resources of the Father that we can begin to speak from Him, which is why if we don't speak from Him, we speak condemnation. We speak foul language, which is why this foul language tells us we are not in Him, we are not of Him. We can't be speaking foul language and still be regarded as the children of God. So these are the things that we need to guard against, because self-condemnation tells us where do we belong, tells us what are we trusting and who are we trusting. It tells us where are we dependent on. So we need to guard our tongue, guard our thoughts, and we must be able to understand it is about positioning. So if I know where am I will therefore speak from the position of where am I. Because if I'm the child of God, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But when we are going to release this condemnation, there is a question about our position in Christ. There is this instability that we are portraying when we start speaking with the language that we speak. So these are the things that we must check as we continue in our work, Brother Ray.
Wow, I thank you so much. I really appreciate Professor Wilson Daisy on the line there. Remember, you can send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. That's 0826572729. Let's hear from you as to what you make of this. And it is the aspect of self-condemnation. This very issue of one looking down at themselves in such a way that they accord no righteousness upon themselves, even though the Father had washed them clean. They recognize none of that, even though the Father has washed them clean. Now, in Matthew chapter 23, verses 31, it says, therefore you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. We also like to bring condemnations upon ourselves because of historicity. I don't know if I'm saying it quite well, Professor. Because of historicity, we like to stay in the condemnation. And that is why these altars are able to exist. It is because we keep them alive.
We keep them alive.
Yes, through historicity. In other words, then, we continuously accord our very lives with the murderers' titles.
Yeah.
That we had taken from our forefathers. Yes, like if we'd say, sorry, I don't want to, I'm not referring to anyone, but if one says, yeah, Minister Kazelosabu Magwaza, you know, and then you go and check and you find that, yo, this was one ingabi, one killer. Even though that the old is passed away, we do what Saul did by going to the grave of someone. We go back.
Someone,
yes, we go back and dig those things. Like I said in the beginning, that we don't remove the door and build a wall. We close the door and not even shut it. And if we shut it, the lock is going to rot if you continue to talk over it. And so we bring things of the past, you know, you know, which means you are a boy who has siblings that have all died. And then you continue to embrace that. Then it makes everything that you have to die around you. Yes.
Yeah, because you are confessing it.
Yes, you are confessing it. From the abundance of the mouth, that the man speaks, so is he, you know. And yeah. I think because of that, because we have attached ourselves to some traditions and acculturations that are murderous, that are wicked, that did not turn, and I'm not talking about customs and practices, but I'm talking about titles that people had. If you can see the generation of surnames, you would see they come from what people did. If they call you Mavuso, there's something that Mavuso used to do. What say you?
Then we end up taking we end up taking after those people.
Absolutely.
And then we embrace these things, and you even say, mina ngifuze usibanban, ngifuze ugogo wami, ozalo babam, and so on and so on. And and we, it's like we don't even want to deal with any weakness, because we think it is some kind of an accolade. You've been told as you grow up that when ufuze usibanban, you've taken after this grandmother, after this grandfather who had this, this and that. And you don't even question what is it that is associated with you from that person. So you just embrace that, and it gets to you because you are confessing it and you're speaking it into your life. The unfortunate thing there is that it does not end with you, because you are also a generation carrier. You still have a fruit that will come from you. It means you are continually transmitting this curse to your children and to your children's children, because you have embraced this and it becomes a string that will not stop. So these are the things that we grow up with sometimes without cutting them, not knowing that once we get into him, into Christ, we need to be able to cut these things and speak against these things. But because of historicity, as you are saying, because of the background and the things that at home they have embraced, you think these are the new things, these are the old things that you must continue with, which is why we are contradicting the scripture when it says the old has passed and the new has come. But we get out of the new to go collect the old, and we make the old part of the new, which is why our life in Christ does not bear any fruit, because we have now mixed what has come from the past and with the new, and there is no fruitfulness where we are. So self-condemnation has lots and lots of avenues that it can affect the people of God. And at the end of the day, the Father whom we worship does not have any impact in our lives, because we don't allow him to be revealed. We are revealing more of the people whom we have embraced from the past. So these are the things that are hindering the Christian walk. The believers are unable to bear fruit associated with their walk because of these backgrounds that are being embraced, coming from the past, coming from what others have said. So it means, Brother Ray, we believe more of our ancestors than to believe the word of God, which is why when people tell you some things, you believe those things more than believing the word of God. And some of those things make you to condemn yourself, and you don't see yourself as a prosperous person. So when they say you are a failure, you can't do 1, 2, 3, you believe those people because you've been believing the things that they've been saying to you about the people who have died. So it means it becomes this chain reaction and the domino effect that happens even to us as the children of God, because we are unable to cut these ties. We cannot separate the two. We still go and touch the past that we should have left before, long time ago, when we come into the salvation of Yahushua HaMashiach.
I hear you quite well. Thank you so much, Professor. Send us your WhatsApps, 082657-2729. Let's hear what you say about this self-condemnation. Some of the things that you used to say about yourself, and you realize, no, I shouldn't say this no more because they are condemning me. Umuntu othi phela mina nginenhliziyo encane ngizothatha ubuzalwane ngubekele eceleni ngokusolve bese ngiyabuthatha ngiyabugcoka futhi. You see, this person basically. You see, this person basically is telling you that they are capable of backsliding and doing wickedness and coming back. You know, they are condemning themselves as being inherently wicked. You know, and then saying this thing of being a child of the Most High, this faith is just superficial. It's something that I wear on the surface. I can always take it off. And because we don't realize that we are saying that, we are saying it because it's such a nice cliche. Yeah. Like when someone says, no, but me now, I'm nothing. It sounds like some form of humility, but basically it's a condemnation. How can you call nothing that which the Father has graced with his favor?
And blessed,
Yes, yes, gracing with his favor.
Including the image of the Father, you still say, I am nothing. You can imagine all of that. Yes, blessed us with his image and the likeness. You're still saying,
Yet we continue to say, I am nothing. And we allow people to call us losers, to call us stupid. And we embrace that. We are condemning ourselves. We basically, there are doors that should be removed and walls should be built instead of those doors. Because there's a tendency to peep back into those doors. And as the word says, for you teach, you have replaced the gospel with the traditions of men. And that is where so much condemnation comes. And it's something that we need to be careful about, I think. And we take these things as cliche and all those kinds of things. You know, when people used to call themselves Bansula and stuff, and then I check the spirit behind it, it's not a good spirit. You know, when someone calls themselves my big five, I checked and I saw, you know, there's something also that, you know, is done by the big fives. You know, they sacrifice people. And someone calls themselves my 26. And I checked, there's something that the 26 group is doing, the 28 group is doing. You know, and people start to call themselves all those kinds of things, even along racial lines. There's condemnation. Even along gender lines, there's condemnation. We need to be careful. Send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. I am keen to hear from you.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now, www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
All right, and send us your WhatsApps, 0826572729. Let's hear what you say. Kerry Steenkamp says, how do I get out of this? Because of my words, thoughts, or other people's, how do I get out of this? There's something I learned, Professor, that is always to think good about yourself, not above what you need to be thinking, but about yourselves, and to listen to what the Father says. And some people basically would not, they've accustomed themselves into not hearing the good things that the Father is saying about them in their hearts personally. You are my son, and today I have begotten you. I love you constantly. Neither shall I leave you nor forsake you. They speak it in group forms somewhere where there is some mob psycho. But personally, people don't really, really accommodate this. Yeah. And when he says,
it becomes difficult to
absolutely
accept.
When he says, I will show you good things. Great things shall I do. Great things shall I do. for you, through you, even when you were told, it would be hard to believe. This is shockingly amazing. It kept me excited for years, especially in the midst of poverty and all those things in the streets. When he says, you shall forget the shame of your youth. You know, it's amazing that we basically continue to live in the ways of condemnation. Start to speak good about yourself. Christian Camp there sent a WhatsApp and saying, how do I get out of this? Because of my words, thoughts, and other people's, which means other people's words and thoughts. What would you say, Professor?
It is a challenge that I believe almost 90% of us face, that we have weaknesses in terms of receiving what is good about ourselves. I think it is caused by hearing more of the pride that people have. So we think we are being humble when we are rejecting these beautiful things that the Father is saying to us. We think maybe we want to feel fitting to other people who are almost at the level where we at. So it is a weakness that most of us have, unable to receive the good things about yourself. And that opens the door of receiving the bad things and confessing those bad things. So now we're talking about the issue where the Father says, call unto me, I will show you great and wonderful things that you never know of. And then you ask yourself, is it talking to me? Can I really talk to the Father? Can the Father really show me who am I? So it comes back to the question that you've been asking, who am I that the Father can show me? Because we have this weakness of unable to receive, unable to be where the Father expects us to be. So that's what we need to deal with in our minds. It starts to start by, do you really believe that you are saved? Because if I can believe that I am safe, which is the word that I cannot see with the physical eye, then I can be able to believe what the Father says about me. So when he says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in my image, and then I begin to embrace that, I am fearfully created, I am loved by the Father. And when I receive those things, that gives God the glory, that gives him all the adoration that he deserves, because I therefore change the way I look at myself. I can't change the way I look at myself up until I believe the word. So it is in me accepting what the Father is saying. But where does that belief start? It starts from us believing whether, do we really believe that we are saved? Because we don't see this with our naked eye. Sometimes we do not feel it. But it is by faith that we receive the salvation of the Lord when we utter the word that he is my Lord and Savior. So then it means everything else that he will say, I will believe, because I believe that he has saved me. So when he says he will never leave me nor forsake me, I believe it. I don't have to feel it. I know by faith that the Lord has done what he has said he will do in his word. So it is about me believing the word. It is about me embracing the things that the Father has said over and above what the world is saying to me. So at some point in time, we need to deal away with this extraordinary humility, which sometimes put us into the state of curse. Because when I reject who am I, when I reject what the Father is saying to me, I think it is more about being pompous. And it's not something like that, because you are confessing the word of God. So if the word of God is saying it, I can repeat what the word is saying. If the word is saying beautiful things about me, I will also repeat those things, and I need to learn to embrace those beautiful things. Failure to embrace those things is a rejection of the word of God. And the rejection of the word of God is condemnation to yourself. And also, it also tells the Father that that which he's saying to you, you don't receive it. The blessings that he's releasing to you, you're not taking them. So these are the things that will create problem to you. And the and the doors begin to open, the enemy then access those doors that he knows there are doubts in those areas. And you've said it very well. There are some times where we need to remove some of the doors that we know that the enemy will use any time. And we build the walls there knowing exactly that there shall not be any access of the devil anymore. And I've shut that door forever. I know who am I. I know I belong to the Father. I know that the Father loves me. I will therefore not define myself by what the world is trying to define me. I'm not going to call myself a sinner because I am now in Him. I am the righteousness of God. So you can even speak this with boldness. The Word of God says, I am the righteousness of God because I am now in Christ. So I cannot be condemned by the world. And when the world condemns me and then it creates this self-condemnation in me, that I now repeat what they are saying. No, I cannot do that anymore because I know who am I and I know that I belong to the Father. So which is why now we need to live by the Word of God. We need to live by what the Father is saying to us. Because if we cannot live by the Word of God, we'll always be condemned. And our conscience will always tell us contrary. I want to read John 8, verse 9. It says here, then those who heard it being convicted by their conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. This is a story whereby the woman who was caught in the act of adultery was being brought to Yahushua HaMashiach to say, what do you say? And when he had answered them that he who has no sin must take the first stone and throw at this woman, knowing who they were inside, they had to condemn themselves one by one. But this is a different picture that we are seeing, that while you are saying things to other people, be careful whether those things are not pointing back to you. So it means it teaches us to live by the Word of God. We are not going to point fingers at people because those fingers we are pointing to people are indirectly pointing back to us. So it means these are the things that we must know as the people of God, that we live according to the Word, that which the Father says we must not do, we're not going to do. So here, these Pharisees and the law keepers of the time, they were thinking they were doing the righteous thing, they were doing the good thing. But this woman came to Yahushua being in that state of humility and embarrassment and all of that, knowing that who she was inside, but understanding that she was now in the presence of the Savior, so she can now receive everything that he will that he will release to him. But those who were guilty began to see, because they were in the presence of the light, then condemnation began from within. But that is the case whereby people learn to look from within and see if those things they are not imposing onto other people. Because even believers can do that. They can start imposing things on other people, whereas they are not supposed to do such a thing. So it is a big picture. It is a big topic that has many faces, Brother Ray, that wants us to tackle this in different angles that you may know. Self-condemnation can affect us in different ways at the end of the day. At some point, we may end up cursing ourselves, thinking what we are saying, we're doing it onto other people, whereas those things are pointed back to us.
Sure, I hear you quite well. Send us your WhatsApps, 0826572729. Moments of self-condemnation, and of course, how you had dealt with this in your own life, or what you think self-condemnation is even all about. Send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. We're just taking it further than last week, just making it broad so that it can touch much more ground.
Hlala ulalele umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla. Thola i-app yethu ku-App Store noma ku-Play Store. Futhi ungavakashela uradiopulpit.co.za.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
From your ear, to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Let's talk to Lebu. Lebu Rampili. Lebu, hi.
Good evening, everyone. The topic of this evening is self-condemnation. And I'll just go straight into the Word of God, which says in Romans 8 that there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ. Condemnation is not a nature of Christ. It's not a character of Christ. Instead, he lovingly forgives and corrects us, but that does not give us license to sin. This no condemnation is to say, my child, I understand that you live in a fallen world. I understand that mistakes can happen, but I am here to help you, to strengthen you, and to show you the way in which you should go. To accuse is the nature and the character of the enemy, but to encourage is the character of Christ. The Bible clearly states that we have everything that pertains to life and godliness on the inside of us. And the only way that the enemy can defeat us is through our own thoughts. When we are in agreement with the enemy's voice, that is when we become defeated. Remember, two cannot walk together unless they agree. What are you in agreement with? The word of God or the voice of the enemy? Christ clearly states, which clearly states that there is no condemnation in Christ. To condemn yourself is to live in that shame. But to be set free is to accept Christ and his word and to say, Lord, I understand the error of my ways. Strengthen me, encourage me. For me, the shame should be in not being able to approach the throne of God for mercy in times of need. The shame should not be in that guilt and sin. But we should be strong enough to approach God and say, God, these are my errors, these are my mistakes. Because when we condemn ourselves, it means that we are the ones who should set ourselves free from whatever sickness or, you know, sin that we find ourselves in. The word of God also says that the enemy walks around seeking those whom he may devour. The enemy walks around seeking those whom he may devour. And that means that not everyone is devourable. That is why he's seeking. He is seeking those who are not strong in the Lord, those who are not strong in faith, those who are not anchored in the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God. Those are the ones that he then finds a way to manipulate and to put in self-condemnation. Self-condemnation is like a chain that you wind around yourself. But God has come to set us free. He's come to set the captives free. I was also just thinking the other day as I was driving about deliverance and what true deliverance means. I think deliverance is when God, when he was saying that we must adopt a new way of thinking. And how do we adopt that new way of thinking? I don't know if the laying of hands is what truly delivers us, but I think it is the word of God that sets us free, because it's sharper than any two double-edged sword. The word of God is what sets us free. And when we sit in the word of God, that is when we are awakened. When we are aware of the decisions that we're making and how they impact others and ourselves. So be the one who chooses to not be devourable. Be the one who chooses to wear the armor of God. The armor is spiritual. That's why God says life and death are in the power of the tongue. What you speak is what you believe and create. I encourage you to believe that you are faithfully and wonderfully created in the likeness of God. You carry his spirit, which is his voice and his image. We're not perfect beings, but to condemn yourself is to take life away from yourself. And Christ says, I came to give you life and to give you life in abundance. Brethren, I encourage you to walk in the life that Christ has given us. Self-condemnation is not the way to go. But sitting in the word of God, even when we have made our mistakes, and saying, Lord, we sincerely and honestly come and we give ourselves to you. We understand we have weaknesses. Strengthen our weak areas. Empower us. Open our eyes to a new way of doing things, a new way of seeing things. God is faithful. God is here to walk this path with us. He's here to correct us and to lead us and to guide us. That's why he says we are an incorruptible seed in Christ. We are incorruptible. But are you sitting in a place where you can be incorruptible? That place is in the word of God. May you be blessed. May you continue to sit in the word of God. Thank you so much, Brendan.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate Lebu. May the Father do you good.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.